Almost at the end of this year, I will never, ever give up fighting for this country that I love so much.
If California's governor fails to call for a special election, voters will choose a replacement in November. A victory for gun rights activists. U.S. Court of Appeals for the Second Circuit has blocked three provisions of New York's concealed carry law. America's listening to Fox News.
The CBS 19 Weather Authority forecast is brought to you by the Virginia DMV, reminding you 'tis the season to click it or ticket.
CBS 19 Weather Authority forecast. Saturday is going to remain mostly sunny and pleasant. Definitely the driest day of the weekend with highs in the mid to low 60s. Saturday night, clouds are going to make their return into our area and we're going to stay in the low 50s. I'm CBS 19 meteorologist Harry Thomas on CVEL 107.5 and 1260 WCHB.
The views expressed here reflect the views of Joel Marks, CLU-CHFC, financial advisor, and his guests appearing on the program as of the date of the program and may change as market or other conditions change. Actual investments or investment decisions made by Ameriprise Financial and its affiliates will not necessarily reflect the views expressed on this program. This program will provide only general information, is not intended to provide investment advice, and does not account for individual investor circumstances. Investment decisions should always be made based on an investor's specific financial needs, objectives, goals, time horizon, and risk tolerance. Past performance does not guarantee future results, and no forecast should be considered a guarantee. Investment products, including mutual fund shares, are not insured or guaranteed by any financial institution and involve investment risks, including fluctuations in value and loss of principal. Investment products are not insured by the FDIC, NCUA, or any federal agency, are not deposits or obligations of or guaranteed by any financial institution, and involve investment risks, including possible loss of principal and fluctuation in value. Ameriprise Financial does not offer tax or legal advice. Consult your tax advisor or attorney. Ameriprise Financial Services, LLC, member FINRA and SIPC. Virginia Credit Union is a registered representative of Ameriprise Financial. Representatives are registered securities sold advisory services offered through Ameriprise Financial, which is not an affiliate of Virginia Credit Union, Inc. Ameriprise Financial is under contract with the financial institution to make securities available to members. Not NCUA, NCUSIF, FDIC insured. May lose value. No financial institution guarantee. Not a deposit of any financial institution.
Good morning. I'm Joel Marks, financial advisor. You're listening to Money Success here on CBIL 107.5, WCHV 1260 in the Charlottesville area. I want to remind you, you can contact me at 540-785-4315 or go to Money Success. Click on, go to WCHV.com, click on Money Success, and you can email me from there, or you can, my phone number is there, you can call me. And we have some interactive things there for you currently, and look forward to hearing from you, folks, as the year comes to an end. It's amazing how quickly this year has gone. And I remember as a teenager or as a young lad, you thought the day would never go finish. You could drug along, and as you get older, the days become weeks and months and all of a sudden, the years start flying by, and all sorts of weird, wonderful things happen during that year. But we are getting to the end of the year, and I want to talk about some house cleaning aspects for you folks as you're looking at the end of the year, that you don't miss out. Because if you recall, a number of years ago, you did not have to take out your RMD. There are people that wait until the last minute to get their required minimum distributions on their IRAs. And the age is now up to age 73 when you must start if you haven't started earlier under the old rule. I want to make sure that you're getting in touch with whoever your advisor is or whoever's holding your assets. If you don't have an advisor for some unusual reason, you would be in that situation. Want to make sure that you do pull that out. Rule of thumb, if you don't have it, if you haven't contacted them before the 24th or 25th of this month, don't try to get it. It's not going to happen. You know, after Christmas, you're not going to see, if there's checks coming out, it's because it's already in process. If you're waiting till the last minute to get your check, you're going to get it the following year, and then you're going to have to do some backpedaling with the IRS. You're going to have to file some additional forms and a letter of explanation of why you got it in January. and the company that is, and you won't have a 1099 on that to file. So you're going to have to do it otherwise. And then the following year, you're going to go in and say, hey, I need my RMD. And they're going to say, you already got it for this year. Well, no, that was last year. No, you're getting the 1099 this year for what you took out this year, even though you're taking it for last year. So you could, depending on the investment, have some penalties and market adjustments, and you'll have a 1099 that will basically have two RMDs, required minimum distributions, located on it, and another letter of explanation why you're only claiming that amount, which is for that year, and you got the previous year already included. So you're creating a real mess for yourself and your tax preparer. So if you have not taken your RMD, contact your advisor, find out, you know, what the status is and so forth, and go forward from that. But I want to give you some thoughts for some financial planning for year end. And it all depends on your economic situation, some of these, and your legacy planning and so forth. But if you do annual gifting under the current law, as a taxpayer, you can give gifts of up to, and this is actually the total amount, $12.9 million. Okay, so I hope I didn't knock you off your chair yet. But it's $12.92 million during the lifetime and not pay any gift taxes. That's also the equivalent to the estate tax exemption. They were brought into parity quite some years ago. See, the dollar amount for lifetime gift and estate tax exclusion is adjusted each year for inflation, and beyond that may change in the future, as it has in the past, and it's been going up. There's going to be some adjustments because of some of the laws are going to pass, and it may revert back to where it was. But each year, as an individual, you can also make a gift to another person that is not included in your lifetime gift-giving total. And this year, the annual exclusion is $17,000. So a husband and wife could actually give a gift of $34,000 to as many individuals as they wanted to. Now, this $34,000 can be quite significant. And let's say you have some grandchildren that you want to help with their education in the future. And that might be setting up a college 529 plan. You can make lump sums to that 529 college plan, where you can give those funds, that $34,000, into the account. Now, if you got multiple grandchildren, that's $34,000 into each account. That can be a good way to get money out of your estate and gift it to that grandchild, and it's there for their college education, or if they go to a technical school. And in fact, if they go to a prep school, it could be used for that and other private schools. They've extended the definition. It originally was for just an accredited college, university, or technical school. They have brought that down to prep schools and some private school situations where it can be used. So you've got that available. And that does not reduce your lifetime exemptions that you can have. So you've got that gift exclusion that you can take advantage of if you want to gift to people. Again, and you could do this for adult children if you wanted to. They're buying a new home. You can gift it, and you don't have to file any paperwork in doing that. The other thing which a number of my clients are involved in with their IRAs are qualified charitable distributions. And this is an important, if you are supporting charities, your church, you know, Wounded Warriors, whatever the organization might be, Red Cross, Salvation Army, you, instead of taking the money and running it through your taxes, you can do a charitable contribution where the monies are distributed directly to the charity. You don't, it doesn't go through your 10, your 1040. It doesn't go through your tax return. And the rules actually permit anybody currently under over 70 and a half and older, which is going back to the old law as the requirement of distribution, can make charitable distributions directly from their IRA. No, you cannot do that if you have a 401k plan or other workplace retirement plan. You cannot make it out of that. And if you are post-retirement and it's still in that 401k, you cannot make those distributions that way. And these distributions are excluded from your taxable income. And remember, that's an exclusion, not a distribution, or rather a deduction. So that eliminates 100% of the taxable income donated. What's even more valuable is that these direct charitable contributions can be made for several years before age 73, when the required minimum distribution is under current law. This provision can be important for your estate planning purposes, particularly for you if you're trying to lower or avoid estate taxes. If you're in a, now, we don't have estate taxes in Virginia, but I have many clients outside of the state where they do have estate tax and inheritance tax situations, and they can be quite onerous. As you know, I've talked about, I came here from Western Pennsylvania about 15 years ago, and recently have been back up there for a couple of clients of mine that have passed, recently passed away, and the tax situation to lineal descendants, that'd be parents to children, then inheritance tax is 4.5%. To a non-lineal, it jumps to 12%. And I'm just like, don't put me in your will. And it goes up from there. So it really becomes an important situation. There is an annual cap for such donations, and it is at $100,000. That's going to rise to $105,000 in 2024. And I have clients that's a concern because they are looking at they don't have children, and they're looking at distributing these funds to different charities. Their income is sufficient and may in those cases exceeds what they need in any given year. Their lifestyle is not affected by giving this money away, and they're very concerned about supporting different organizations. And for those people that who want the donation to count as all or part of their required minimum distribution, the rule requires, and this is important, that the first dollars out of one's account each year satisfy their RMD, making the qualified charitable distribution the first contributions out. So let's have an example. Let's assume that your required minimum distribution is $5,000 this year. What you want to make sure is that, and you want to give away $4,000, make sure that the charitable contribution goes out first. Then you get your $1,000. Now, the fact is you can put all the paperwork in at once. But don't grab $1,000 and then a month later decide you're going to give the $4,000 to charity. The IRS does not like that, and nobody wants them knocking on their door. Remember, if you're not going to make those charitable contributions, The RMD is totally taxable to you. And if you need it, that's fine. But if it's just going to be excess income and you do give regularly to your church or to some different charities that are important to you, you may want to consider, instead of taking it out of your regular income, and you do have a required minimum distribution, set that up and do that. I have one client who actually supports 13 charities. I know, because it takes 26 forms to get it done. The checks are all sent to the client, made out to the charity, and he and his wife, they like to put cards together, put the check in, and they send it to the charity. That's not a problem. The check doesn't have to go directly to the charity. It can go to the donor, but the check is made out to the charity. So some places, the one company requires two sets of forms to do it. And depending on the company that where your monies are invested in their process, the information that you need in addition to the charity's name is easy to grab off the internet. You're listening to Money Success here on CBO 107.5 and WCHV 1260. I'm Joel Marks, financial advisor. I'm your host for this program. Have been for about 4 years now since we started. We're really excited about that. It's neat to run into people that are listening to the program on a regular basis, and we thank you. Want to remind you also that we've been talking about some year-end cleaning things. We're talking from a financial standpoint, reference to annual gifting, qualified charitable distributions on your IRAs. Those of you that have required minimum distributions, or if you don't and you want to start, as long as you're 70 and a half or older, you can do that. The other thing is on the lifetime exemption for estates. And this may not reference the majority of the listeners that are on today, but the lifetime exemption for estate purposes, federal estate purposes, is adjusted for inflation. The cap on that for estate purposes and gift purposes for taxes is $13.61 million. Okay, and that's in 2024, and the current law, however, contains a sunset provision, and we reduce the exemption to half of that in 2026. If you're a large estate, you've been following this. Most people project that it's going to be at $7 million is when they drop it back. Excuse me, which is still a large exemption. But for certain people, this cap is very important. And I know of a number of people that's a very big concern, and especially when it comes to estate planning, because you want to figure out how to avoid taxes. Remember, the difference between avoiding and evading is about 10 to 20 years. So we want to avoid taxes, not evade them. There are ways to set up estates to lower the estate values for these exemptions, and it's using trusts and closely held corporations. It's adjusting stock because of controlling appreciation and so forth. So there are techniques and tools available to control the value of estates growing. So it does take some estate planning. You need a good financial advisor that knows what he's doing or she's doing, as well as an attorney that is an expert in estate work and estate planning, not somebody who does it part-time. No offense, attorneys, but it is a specialty. I'm not going to go to a heart surgeon or a podiatrist if I need heart surgery. It doesn't make sense. They are a specialist in feet. I want somebody who's a specialist in the heart aspect. So I just bring that to your attention. These are some end of year planning things to take into consideration. If you haven't recently, get with your financial advisor, find out what's going on, work with them. If they're not available, get another one, because you need to have your assets watched over, especially in this volatile time that we have in our country. As a follow-up to that, you know, I'm having a lot of people coming in. They're getting ready to retire. They've just retired. They're looking at that. And I talk about the quantitative and the qualitative aspects of retirement. The quantitative aspects, is what it is. That's the monies that you've accumulated to date, what you may accumulate up until the time that you retire, what you're going to have in Social Security benefits, 401ks, VRSs if you're a state employee, government TSPs, and so on and so forth. That is what it is. The question is, how are we going to work that to benefit you, to give you financial peace of mind, financial success, make sure you don't outlive your money, and getting all the aspects that you may that you're able to maintain your lifestyle. So I just want to give you some thoughts and questions that most people don't really think about. They usually get up to retirement and all of a sudden, hey, I'm retiring, and then they got to figure out what they're going to do. There's no plan. It just is what it is. And what it is may not be what it should be. So let me just throw some questions out to you, some thoughts, as we're coming to the end of the year. And as you may have approached or thinking about retirement, or even if you're post-retirement. But if you're pre-retirement, how much longer do you want to work? I have people coming in, you know, they're going to work till 62, 65, 67, 70, whatever that is. Because the longer you work, the more you'll be able to contribute to your retirement plan, to a savings plan, and so forth. And if you retire from work, will you work part-time because you want to or you have to? You know, will you be able to maintain your finance, economic world, your financial lifestyle, if you quit 100%? Or might you just work part-time, putzing here and there, or doing something for your own personal sanity to get you around other people? That may be something that you want to do. But the question is, how do you want to spend your time? Do you plan to change your lifestyle when you retire? For example, traveling more often. You should think about how that will affect your retirement expenses. Have you built that into your plan for your traveling? Do you know what about you're willing to spend? I have one client that retired with the goal of traveling around the world, and that person has been traveling all over the world. We worked that into the plan, significant. I mean, this person has been to the South Pole, they've been to China, they've been to Russia, they've been to Southeast Asia, they've been to Africa. In fact, when I contact this person, I usually ask, what country are you in now? Last time I tried to contact this person, they were in England. And I'm going, okay, great. I'm happy for phones and the internet. That's something that needs to be put into the plan and decided about. Where would you ideally like to live? Are you going to stay in the home that you're in? Will you downsize, move someplace else? Are you going to move from Virginia to Florida? Or Arizona or some other state? And how will that cost of living in that location affect your retirement? We say, well, I'm going to move to wherever it is, but we forget there's a cost of living factor to that. You know, if you're going, for some odd unknown reason, wanting to move to New York City from this area of Virginia, your cost of living is going to be greater. Now, you probably won't need a car, but housing is very, very expensive in New York City, where you may move to, I don't know, some town where it's not as expensive. So where would you ideally like to live? What are your plans for that? And then let's take a look at a budget. You may or may not, probably not, work the budget at this point. But as you get to retirement, you're on a fixed income. That income is going to come out of Social Security. It's going to come out of your pensions, IRA account, that you've rolled 401ks and so forth into it. PLOPs have been rolled in if you're a state employee. TSP accounts being for federal and so on and so forth. That I want to sit down with my clients. I want to work out a budget with them. Now, we put a sludge factor into it, or if you want to call it that, we're not getting it down to the penny, but we're trying to get an idea of what we're looking at for expenses, if there's still mortgage payments, or, you know, we still have, if you own a home, you still got taxes and utilities and home repairs and upkeep. And is this, okay, we're retiring, and I've had people come in, we're retiring, and we're going to remodel parts of the house now that we're retired. We're going to do the kitchen or bathroom or put on a sunroom or add a garage or whatever it might be. So we want to take a look at that. We want to take a look at your health insurance. You know, how is that Medicare going to be set up? Are you going to get an Advantage plan or some other type of plan? What's the cost? What about long-term care? Do you have that kind of insurance? Is that still going to be out of pocket? And what are your out of pocket medical expenses looking like? Because that could be a major concern for you. We're going to look at food and clothing, credit card payments. And my goal with my clients when they get to retirement is we don't want any credit card payments. If we do, we're going to pay them off every month, especially today's interest rates of over 22%. For the most part on credit cards and 30% plus on cash advances, which is financial suicide in my opinion. And then gasoline. We know it's up over 50% of what it was 3 years ago. You know, how are we going to handle inflation on gasoline and food, which is up about 17% in the stores? I know I just went shopping the other night I'm seeing what I've got, and I know what I'm paying. I'm going, wow, I'm not getting as much as I used to. And I do most of the shopping in our home because I do most of the cooking, in fact. But, you know, we're talking about your auto and that. You're talking about auto and maintenance. How about, you know, what do you do for fun? You know, do we talk about movies, sports events? Again, travel, vacations, hobbies, other recreations. And then we're going to take a look at your charitable contributions and so on. So the point is that we want to put a budget together to help you manage your money in retirement, because most of the time you're talking about a fixed income, unless, again, you're going to maybe work part-time, if you consider that. Or maybe you're going to end up delaying retirement. When it comes down to it, you're going, I'm not ready to retire. I'm enjoying what I'm doing. As long as I enjoy it, I'm going to keep doing that. And I understand that. So, again, this is another part that we've been talking about when I talk about putting a plan together and work the plan, and estate planning, financial planning, retirement planning. I'm Joel Marks. I'm a financial advisor located at your Virginia Credit Union in Seminole Court. You do not have to be a member of the credit union to meet with me. Many of my clients are not members. I'm here to work with you. You can contact me at 540-785-4315, or you can go to WCHV.com, click on Money Success, and that'll take you to my webpage where you can email me from there. You can call me from there. You're listening to us on CBIL 107.5 and WCHV 1260. It's great to be with you again this week as the year is coming to the end. It's going to come quickly. Want to give out that warning as I have in the past and continue to do. Be careful with Christmas spending. Remember, the shock comes in January and February when the credit cards start showing up. Put a budget together. Stick with your budget. Don't go over that. And remember, the best is yet to come.
Voted one of Virginia's top newscasts now.
It's a new world. You know, it's a different era.
On Seville 107.5 and 1260 WCHV, AM and FM, Charlottesville.
From the WCHV and CBS 19 newsrooms, this is local news first.
You may recall the incident that had Charlottesville High School closed for 3 days before Thanksgiving involved trespassing on Charlottesville High School grounds. Charlottesville police have made an arrest in that case. Kavira Bynum of Charlottesville was arrested late Friday morning. Police say she has been released from custody pending an update.